So I mentioned last week that I'm feeling a little humbuggy this year about the Christmas season. The magic feels like it hasn't been hitting me for the last couple of years, and I feel like I'm desperately chasing some kind of childhood feeling of wonder and comfort that used to come with this time of year for me. Then I found out about the Garabedian Christmas House. It's sort of a cult Christmas roadside attraction. It's just a house in the Bronx. I thought this would be the exact type of thing that would, you know, ignite something back in me. So I called up Eric, and we took a trip to the Bronx together, hoping for a holiday miracle. This is a car episode, just the two of us driving around with a handheld recorder, so the audio is not going to be up to our usual standards, but we hope you enjoy it anyway. It's Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here. Stay with us. I guess it's a half statement, half question.
Yeah.
I fucking hate classy Christmas lights.
Yeah, me too.
Not a big fan.
Do you mean just like the icy white
just
lights?
On a plain, otherwise like undecorated tree.
Yeah,
I think part of Christmas should come with like gaudy, terrible decorations.
Christmas, I feel like, is the anti-minimalist holiday.
Yes.
It's just about as much stuff as possible, and I love that.
It's, I think, hear me out. You know how, like, when you're a kid, at least I don't know if this was the case in your family, but my family went through the trajectory of, we had the just sloppy craft Christmas tree with the big dumb ornaments.
I thought you were going to say something about, like, a sloppy Joe Christmas tradition.
I'm going to start. That sounds like a great Christmas
That's
tradition.
That's a great Christmas tradition. You get some green peppers in there. You got the red. You got the green.
You don't see that a lot in New York City.
Wow.
A big, round blow-up Santa.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I hate the blow-up stuff.
You hate the blow-up? No,
that feels like I want some old-school, kind of creepy, plastic-hard things that you put on your lawn.
Well, I have some good news for you, and I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, baby.
So, it wasn't Sloppy Joe's. A terrible sloppy Christmas tree of just, like, homemade craft ornaments.
Yeah.
The big bulb lights. I like the big, colorful bulb lights. Those, like, 70s, 80s style.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great.
But, you know, my brothers and I, we all grew up, we got out of the house, and my parents transitioned to, like, a clean Christmas tree with white lights.
It's fucking bullshit.
And I think that's the day Christmas dies.
Let me ask you a question. You think it's, like, an effort thing? You think it's just, because, like, as an older adult man now, there are things where it's like, I know I'm supposed to do this thing, but I'm just going to do the least effort possible version. Like, that's why I understand the inflatable. I hate them, but
yeah.
I get it. If I'm a dad, I have a suburban home with a dumb lawn that I take care of. I want a thing that I could just put out there, plug in, and then it deflates when it's done and I put it in a tiny box.
That is a good point.
It's like Christmas efficiency, and it's
right.
Fucking horrible.
That said, I think there's an element, I think it's almost more boring than that.
Mm.
I would respect it if it was just like, boom, one and done, a kit.
Yeah.
I think it's an element of, like, post leaving the nest growing, like a second growing up.
Oh,
for parents,
interesting.
Of, like, we're going to have a real grown-up adult old people tree now.
Yeah.
At least in the case of my parents. I think my parents were like, we're done with the silly, crude tree.
Oh, now we're like, we're truly adults.
Right.
Interesting.
I think they've moved past childish things like an ornament I made in my first grade with like a picture of me on it and popsicle sticks.
All the things they had to pretend to like of their children.
But like, I don't know, that ugly, like, Charlie Brownness is Christmas to me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Do you have any family heirlooms? Anything?
We definitely have ornaments that are like, yeah, that were like given to my mom and dad by one of their parents, or they got on a trip. Like, there's definitely things that my mom was actually just putting ornaments on our tree the other night, and she was like, yeah, it's like, you're hanging up a bunch of memories.
Yeah, definitely. Which definitely.
Which is kind of cool, especially because you only do it one time a year, theoretically.
Right.
Why do you guys have any?
The one that really stuck around is, so my dad grew up pretty poor, and they had like one nice set of ornaments, and it was supposed to be like Santa and a bunch of elves, right?
Yeah. Guys, let's have a minute.
So they had put these elves and Santa away into the attic.
Yeah.
And all at some point in between Christmas 1 and Christmas 2, all of them got destroyed in the attic. Except for one who lost his arm but was otherwise okay, not smashed to bits.
Okay.
My dad's family gave this surviving elf the very politically correct name of Crip, because he had lost an arm.
He's a cripple, yeah, of course.
And crafted this whole narrative about how something had clearly come to ruin their Christmas, and Crip fought it off and was the only survivor. But my dad still has Crip.
Interesting.
And I like that one.
That's a nice Christmas tale.
Right?
That's pretty
name
good.
Aside, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That said, you mentioned, though, wanting hard Christmas ornamentry.
Yeah.
And I was talking about wanting gaudy Christmas. I think that is the true spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh, boy. So, Eric, we are on our way to a certain, I think, cult Christmas destination.
Hell yeah.
In the Bronx.
Hell yeah.
We are heading to, and God, I hope they still have it on. I don't know the case here. I don't know how late they keep it on, in which case.
I hope this would be the most Brian and Eric thing ever if we went there late to avoid traffic, and it's just off.
And they just turn it off.
Look, electricity, not cheap these days. Things, bills are creeping up.
I think, I just said... Shooting the shot now. If we get there and the display is not lit, Christmas is dead.
Yeah, that's our sign. This is the Groundhog's Day of Christmas.
Right.
Is it dead forever or just this year?
I don't know.
Look at that. That's a
wow.
Little good. It's blinking.
That one's
on
blinking.
That's pretty cool.
It's great for podcasting, is to just comment on lights they can't see. I'm still going to do it. I don't care. We're in the car. But we're heading to the house of the Garabedian family. I believe that's how to pronounce that Italian, I'm guessing, name.
Garabedian.
Garabedian. So they have been decorating their house in, like, the goofiest fucking way since 1974.
Damn.
1974.
Has this passed between generations, or is this still like the same guy?
So I believe it was a mother, and mother, father, and kids.
Okay.
The kids are now grown and are maintaining this themselves.
Good for them.
Right?
Good for them.
So this happened. So I guess I should start with, from the pictures, I have not been to this house myself. From the pictures, it is a garish already pink house. They have a large display of a nativity. So, you know, like Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus in a manger, some wise men. That's lit up. And all of these gaudy, garish, like, movie theater statuettes.
Okay.
Positioned around the house as if all of Hollywood has come to welcome the baby Jesus. They have begun doing this. Eric, guess what? I'm so excited to tell you this part. They started doing this in 1974 after apparently witnessing a miracle on Christmas Eve night, 1973. This has been maintained in thanks to the Christian God.
Okay.
For this miracle that has befallen them.
Okay.
The family, I read a New York Times piece about it.
Gary Garabedian, who seems to be the strictest secret keeper.
Sure.
But refuses to divulge what this miracle could have been.
He can't talk about the miracle.
Let's see here. According to the New York Times, I'm flipping through my notes. The quote I have here is, "Something happened to the family on Christmas Eve in 1973. This is our way of showing thanks to the Lord for what he did for us." When pressed by the New York Times, Gary responded, "The family wants to keep it special for ourselves." The New York Times writer attempted to press a little more. It is not a financial miracle. There was no financial windfall.
Okay.
Let's see here. It is not health related. No one made any sort of miraculous recovery.
Okay.
The writer asked if it was a visit, some sort of spiritual visitation.
Sure.
Linda, one of the sisters, said, "A visitation? You could say that." However, Gary shut it down and said, "You could be right, you could be wrong." He does maintain that it was a religious miracle. They are a very religious family.
Can I say, I love Gary's style.
It's
not keeping his cards close to the vest.
You know, so here's my question of, like, we've talked to a lot of people over the years about weird stuff and weird stuff that they've experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the fact that he's keeping it close to the vest give it more merit to you or less?
It's a great, you know, great question. I feel like it can go either way.
Part of me appreciates, you know, when we talk to a lot, just a heads up hint, if anyone is thinking about telling us a spooky story, leave a little to the imagination. When you try to explain all of it, the less I think we kind of buy into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Abso-friggin-lutely. Quick logistical adventuring aside.
Yes.
We've got, this is a Dunkin' Donuts. There is no drive-through.
Okay. I'm game to go in.
Yeah, let me just pull over somewhere. I think I can just park the bucket maybe in this spot even. Classic move. What the hell were we talking about? The Garabedians?
The Garabedians.
The Garabedians.
I was wondering if you think, part of me thinks gives it some credibility that at least they believe whatever it is, you know?
Well, here's the thing. They kept doing it year after year. There was no, like, gain, really, in fame. They're just setting up, ornaments, and they don't get anything from it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, God, I hope we get to see it.
Two medium hot chocolate. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Great.
Thanks. Did you do those?
I got them.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess I'll just take these.
There's a diner across the way. Not a lot of diner action in Bushwick, or at least not my literal neighborhood.
There's not. There was a great diner. I don't know if it's still around in. Near my old spot on like Central Ave.
That was phenomenal. But yeah, a diner feels a little more like diners
are not cool enough, I feel like.
I love a diner.
I love a diner. I think diners are super cool. But I mean, like, they're not like Bushwick cool enough, I feel like. Which is weird, because you think they kind of could be or would be.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's bullshit.
So, we were talking about the Garabedian family.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the power bill on this thing, because it apparently, like I said, it
is huge. Yeah, they're losing money on this miracle.
Yeah, right. They have in the past blown out the power in, like, the neighborhood.
That's hilarious.
Con Ed has since worked with them on their wiring.
They have, like, a special Con Ed rep?
Close to it. The Queens County Republican headquarters. There they are.
Right next to the bar, yeah.
I gotta say, I'm wearing boots. I got my jacket on. I got a winter hat. I got a hot chocolate.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
I'm on.
We're on our way. We're on our way in the Brian and Eric alternate timeline where we are the movie Good Will Hunting, but just neither one of us is actually a genius. And we just keep going to the construction site in cold Boston mornings till we both die.
The dream.
That's the dream. I think there is, honestly, when I think of hanging out with you, I do have an alternate timeline dream where we are just both blue-collar craftsmen of some kind, just shooting the breeze on the job site.
You know?
You know what I mean? We're riding in the van.
That alternate, do we make enough to, like, provide for a family?
We probably make significantly more than we do now. With higher sense of purpose and job security.
Oh, how do we get there?
I don't know. Something about trade school seems hard. Gonna stick to the course I'm at.
Learn a new thing? No. Can't be me.
Couldn't, yeah, no, sir. Not today, world. Yeah, but that's actually pretty interesting. They fucking cut a deal with the power company.
Right, right. In recent years, I guess in like 2018... Gary Garabedian and one of the sisters, I believe Anne, was in a car crash.
Oh God.
And, that slowed the display down a little bit.
Okay.
I guess in like 2018, you can find, so I think in 2018, they only lit up the Jesus thing.
Okay.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Altar?
No. The set. You know, Mary,
the
Joseph. But what's the whole thing called?
Nativity.
The Nativity.
Yeah.
The Nativity. They only lit that up.
Okay.
There was like a panic among the local news. Like, is the Garabedian house done? Are they just done? Is this like Bronx tradition done?
Yeah, yeah.
They have, however, I believe, since brought it back. Like I said, if we go there and it is dark, Christmas is dead.
Okay. Yeah, this is our Christmas Groundhog's Day. We just got these. We throw these cups in the garbage and then jump off a bridge.
Is that how you remember that movie?
I think so. What movie?
Got it. You meant I thought you were talking about the movie Groundhog's Day. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh no. I mean, yes, definitely that movie. Great film. Have you started your Christmas movie marathon yet?
Yeah, we have been watching some stuff. I watched Black Christmas for the first time.
Ooh.
It's the original holiday slasher. It predates Halloween by a year.
Oh, shit.
Yep. And it's really good. It's really spooky.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Black Christmas. It is directed by Bob Clark, the director of Porky's and...
Oh, hell yeah.
Ironically... A Christmas Story.
That's nice.
He made two Christmas films, one a heartwarming, nostalgic look back at childhood, and the other, sorority girls getting murdered.
That's true. No, Porky's wasn't sorority. Was it? Did they die?
The Black Christmas was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We saw a very different Porky's.
I haven't spent a lot of time in the Bronx.
You have not. Well, you got married there.
I did get married there. I forgot about that.
Great. The Bronx is an interesting interesting borough, for sure. Very big.
I gotta say, I'm excited to go to this house. I kept looking around, like, what's weird Christmas stuff we could do? And I was pretty disappointed by the results. This is kind of like the weird one. This is the weird thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, like, New York City should have more. You got to kind of go into New Jersey to see more weird shit.
Of course you do. Is there New Jersey weird stuff?
One of my favorite ones, and there's one in New Jersey, and there was a similar one in Arizona.
Okay.
There's just this tree that gets fucking Christmas treed up every year. It's a random fucking tree out in the middle of nowhere. Someone fully decorates it as a Christmas tree, and no one knows who.
Interesting.
Nobody knows where it all comes from.
In near my town on Long Island, there's like kind of a out in the so I live sort of on a bay, and out in a bay there's a little like floating dock. Like, it's not attached to anything on land; it's just floating on the water, anchored to the bottom.
Okay.
And every year around this time, it's like, I don't know, 100 yards offshore, people swim to it, whatever, in the summer. Every year around this time, someone puts a Christmas tree on it. And just a little floating Christmas. I don't know
who it is.
They
swim it out there?
I think they probably take a boat, I'd imagine.
Oh, sure.
Either or. I don't know.
That modern water travel.
Yeah, exactly. And how do they not melt when they touch the water? You are a true landlubber.
That's me. That's me, baby.
Loves the land. Weird. Okay, so we got a mysteriously decorated Christmas tree. That's actually, I feel like that's hard to pull off, especially once people kind of know.
Right, if people know about it enough to submit it to Atlas Obscura. Like, you think, that said, how many days are you going to camp out while you're waiting for it? It's in, like, the middle of nowhere.
True. Interesting. Interesting. This is a complete non sequitur, but speaking of just mysterious acts involving vegetation.
Yeah.
You know what you don't hear about anymore? Crop circles.
Yeah, what happened to crop circles?
I think they were just fake.
You think there were never crop circles at any time?
Yeah, not that aliens didn't do them. The whole crop circle phenomenon itself, it's a Berenstain Bears. It never happened. There were never crop circles.
But no, I mean, you know, they stopped happening the second you could suddenly be like, no, I have video of you fucking doing it.
Yeah, this is exactly how you make these. Yeah, man. That was a fun thing. We shouldn't have ruined that.
No.
Let that one go.
That's a thing. That's what I'm, you know, and I think it ties into Christmas. And I don't always love people smugly, like, debunking stuff.
No.
I dropped my mop.
Can we rebunk things that have been debunked?
That's a great cue.
That's a fun show.
It's so basically my issue, I think, is, and like I said, this goes into kind of my problem with Christmas lately, is that there's no fucking magic left in the world.
I know.
Where'd all the magic go?
I know. Wouldn't it be sweet, man, if we're... And I think this is... That kind of explains my passing and still sometimes resurgent obsession and interest with quote-unquote real magic or people who claim they can do magic. Because I want that to be real.
Right. I want some level of, like, mystery.
Yeah, there's some other shit. There's some spirits. There's something going on that we don't understand.
Right, right. And I think we've been reckoning with that a lot this year of, like, I'm increasingly having trouble believing it.
Yeah, yeah.
The more we've been kind of sitting with it. But, man, I want it.
Sure.
Well, I want to believe.
I think we're kind of on, as always, Brian, we're sort of on the forefront. We're on the tip of the spear of the avant-garde, if you will. but I think that, like we're experiencing that in the context of this show.
Sure.
But I think it almost feels like the whole world is experiencing that. Like, the whole world is entering into some kind of existential crisis. I mean, even in, like, the whole COVID, like, the great resignation thing, of people are like, I don't really feel like working this stupid job.
You're right, right.
Like, everything is kind of falling apart in that way, it seems like.
It's, I mean, think about it, and, you know, you constantly see, like, there's a huge shortage of, like, people willing to do construction work.
Sure.
Because who the fuck wants to do construction and then still be broke?
Yeah.
Fair you
point.
Know?
Fair point.
And I think a lot of that is happening around. Of like, I gotta do this shitty job and still not make rent? No, no thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just not make rent.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, I don't know. It sort of feels like the world's starting to feel very small all of a sudden.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah, not in a charming way.
Not like, oh, it's all a nice little town. You know, like, everything's kind of the same everywhere, sort of way.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, you know what made me sad recently? My wife and I did an early Christmas, because we have to travel for family.
Yeah.
And you know what's way better? Just Christmas, where you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So we did that. We had our own little presents and a movie, and we made dinner, and it was good. We had a good Saturday.
That was great.
But Emily got me, and I love them, sleep headphones. I like to sleep to music. And she got me Bluetooth, like, headphones and this very comfortable headband that you sleep with.
Oh, that's nice.
And
wait, how does the headband work?
It's like a very cozy headband, and then it's got these soft headphones in them.
Oh, so you don't get weird, like, googly ears if you fall
right.
asleep.
No, they're designed to be, like, side-slept in.
Gotcha.
And they're very comfortable.
That's nice. That's a great gift.
I love them. I love them.
Go, Emily, wife of the year.
Right?
Okay.
So I was feeling a little nostalgic, and I put on my local radio station growing up. I love radio.
Sure.
Or I love my memory of radio, rather,
yeah,
I suppose. So I threw on my childhood local radio station, WPLR, and listening to it overnight, there's no overnight DJ.
Bullshit.
There used to just be a chill dude.
Yeah, yeah.
His name was Jesse.
Yeah.
And he would just, I don't know, talk about stuff. Usually music. Like, he'd have a couple minutes in between songs, and he'd just talk about stuff.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
And now that's just gone. It's just automated.
You know, I wonder what the Jessies of the world do now.
I did look him up on LinkedIn.
How's he doing? How's Jesse doing?
He's doing something, not broadcasting. He kind of was on our... It's interesting. He followed, like, our trajectory, doing a lot of, like, social media marketing stuff. And then I think he's doing that on some sort of more senior level.
Well, that's nice.
Social media marketing is the job... creative people who couldn't hack it into the creative positions kind of end up, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's right. Well, it's interesting. There used to be, I feel like, a set of positions for people to just kind of, like, talk and opine about things. And I was really angling for one of those for a long time.
Right.
And then I realized they're all gone.
Yep.
They don't exist anymore.
There's nothing.
And maybe that's fair. You know, maybe they...
I don't have... I love to talk. I don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Yeah, from, like, newspaper columnists to, like... There's just, like, all sorts of fun little jobs in that world that are kind of not a thing anymore.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
Man.
I don't know. All right, let me just get off this. You know what? I'm going to go this way, see what happens.
All right.
We're doing it.
We're doing
like
it.
An alternate. Oh, fuck me. Hang on. I've made a terrible mistake. I'm going to get off here.
Oh.
That didn't sound good.
That didn't sound very good.
Doesn't sound like any tire popped.
No, I think we're all right.
Okay, that only added 15 minutes. I was very afraid because I was looking at the alternate route and it looked like it was about to add 40 minutes. With
the GPS did suddenly get spooky.
Yeah, yes it did. So far, we're doing good. Maybe what happens tonight is whatever we just landed on, like, ooh, look at that plane coming in hot. Like, pops a tire, and we end up in some kind of cool Christmas jam that makes us rediscover the spirit of Christmas.
I'm game for whatever. I'm game for whatever happens tonight. I do
hope... Gotta be home by 11.
I just hope it's not that one. I hope that's not how we have to discover Christmas.
That does stink. That is terrible.
I would prefer to rediscover the magic of Christmas a different way.
Sure.
If it's all the same to you.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, what do we got here? All right, we're behind some kind of truck filled with cold cuts.
I was in, Emily and I were in Florida, we were, we were going to Gatorland.
Is it just a gator zoo?
Yes, that is what it is, and that's what I imagine, I would have been really excited about it, this, like, kind of just roadside attraction gator zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Our car broke down on the side of the highway.
Oh, shit.
Just fully Emily was driving and was like, I'm not accelerating.
Oh, that's bad.
It was bad. So we called AAA. We sat on the side of the highway. And, you know, Florida, it was morning when we left. But it was starting to approach afternoon. And I don't know if you know this about Florida. It gets hot.
It's fucking hot.
So we wait 2 hours, and we call AAA back, like, hey, you said it would maybe take, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, they forgot to put the call in.
Oh, classic jam.
Which, oof, that was not a good day.
Let me ask you this question. Was the car just, like, off? Could you get the AC going, or you're just...
The car was fully dead.
It was my in-law's car. And it should not have done that. They,
All right. We're doing great.
The car company ended up comping whatever the issue was, because that should not have happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing about... that's the thing about Florida, is that while it's, like, theoretically, hypothetically, a kind of civilized place, it's actually fairly treacherous. Yeah, like, a lot of areas, if you bring, like, you're just in the swamp filled with dinosaurs.
Alligators. Carnies.
Yeah, like, there's shit that will, there are predators that will eat you.
It's one of those, it's kind of like California in that we've settled it in defiance of God. Like,
yeah. And actually just pretty small areas.
Right.
I remember driving, I was there on business a long time ago, and I remember like driving through, there's some main highway that cuts from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And there's just no exits, no gas stations. It's like 90 miles of highway just cut through a swamp.
Oh, boy.
And I think if you break down on that, you just die.
There's no...
You're like... just expected to die.
You live among the swamp now.
Yeah, you're like, it's more dangerous for rescue services to come get you there.
Right,
and
right.
You're not, your life is not worth that. So you just die in a swamp.
I was in L.A. A couple months ago. My wife and I having a little vacation, and we drove up to we got a Jeep. We took the top down. We took it out to Joshua Tree, the state park, and delightful. Had a wonderful time. But it was like occurring to me that like you know it's big open fucking land, and I'm sure the roads are patrolled to some capacity. But like if our car were to break down, I literally wouldn't know what this next step was.
Yeah. Well, especially, I feel like the desert is scary.
It's, I had never been to California before. I had really never seen anything like it of like, yeah. I'm thinking I know what a desert's supposed to look like, but just how vast and open and desolate it was.
Yeah. The desert will kill the shit out of you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just flat land and then just walls of mountains. And I've seen mountains. You know, I grew up in Connecticut. So we're like kind of on the mountains. Never. Once again, I'm not an idiot. I understand what a mountain is.
I know.
Eric.
Yeah,
I know what a mountain is.
You sounded oddly defensive.
I know what a mountain is,
I understand.
Eric. Stop
mountains.
Insinuating I don't know what a mountain is. I'm sick of it. Yeah. But still, like, seeing them, even through Los Angeles, was just gobsmacking. Like, those are pretty fucking big, huh?
Yeah, we don't really have those out here.
No.
I mean, we've got some mountains, like, in New York State, but it's not the same. They're not quite as striking.
Right.
I would like one day, with this show, in the context of the show, or just however, just a cross-country road trip.
We should do it.
Dude, that's what we should do. That's how
we should do
season. I know we don't have seasons, but for the next season of the show, we should just record one long road trip across America, stopping at various places, and it takes us like 2 or 3 weeks, and that's all our shows come from that journey.
That sounds great.
You know what I mean?
That's volume 4, I think.
That's volume 4!
We're crossing a city field right now.
Mets. I'd like to note that I cannot multitask. So I've taken like 6 wrong turns in the course of this journey. Should have been there 20 minutes ago.
That's good. We can get 2 episodes out of this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We just draw it all out. All right. Well, I'm going to do my best to not fuck this up again. Okay. 678 North. Great. We have 2.2 miles.
Great.
That's fucking hilarious. That happens to me in New Jersey all the time. The New Jersey Turnpike just presents you with these, like, flash problem. Like, you have to make a decision.
Pop quiz!
Go! Left or right? Go! Wrong answer! 40 minutes! No exits! You blew it! The woman of your dreams will definitely not wait at that pizza place any longer!
That come from experience?
No, but I actually did once miss a very, very important meeting.
Oh, boy.
Because of that. And I, like, texted. I just texted the person. I was like, hey, man, this is what just happened. I'm not going to be there sooner than an hour later.
Jesus Christ.
And he was just like, all right.
That's what happens.
That's what happens. They should have designed an out. People make mistakes, New Jersey. You of all states should know that. Every resident of yours has made a giant mistake.
That's why they're in New Jersey. Yeah,
that's probably why why they're designed that way. They want to limit escape options.
No, you're here now.
Yeah. Oh, you're stuck. Yeah. Welcome to New Jersey, the lobster trap of human, human habitats.
Your tax dollars are ours now. Welcome. Yeah,
exactly. You can never leave.
You want some gabagool?
Yeah. I will say the shore, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like New Jersey.
Yeah.
New Jersey's got an edge to it that I'm kind of like, I'm missing, you know?
Yes.
I would have said it the other way around of like, New Jersey was like a poor man's elsewhere in New England, but I'm kind of craving that. I'm kind of craving it's more like under the skin weirdness.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I feel like New Jersey actually, well, I mean, you turned me on to this with weird New Jersey and
Chris. Yeah.
I feel like there is a lot of weird shit.
Definitely.
In New Jersey.
Definitely. We should go hunt for the Jersey Devil.
I like that. I'm into that.
Let's go just find a Jersey wood and just camp out all night.
And wait. Just wait for it.
Just wait. I mean, that's all Bigfoot hunting is, right?
Is the Jersey Devil different than Bigfoot?
The Jersey Devil is like a horse creature.
Oh, it's a horse?
Yeah. It's like half horse. It's got giant, like, bat wings. Hmm. And I do believe, unlike Bigfoot, which I believe is an animal of some kind, I do believe the Jersey Devil does literally come from hell.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's not like a cryptid. It's like more of a demon.
Yeah. I also don't think. I think the Jersey Devil is more satisfyingly in like folklore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there is as big of a contingent of like it's out there somewhere.
I got you. I got you.
Which I'm not sure. I'm convinced there are that many genuine Sasquatch believers, but.
No, I would agree. I would agree.
I think people just like getting away from their families, hanging out in the woods with their butts.
What do you think is the most of all the things like that? Okay, good. This is good. This is the bridge we wanted. We wanted to go over a bridge, not just take loops on a highway. what do you think is the most of like Sasquatch? Like, okay, so there's kind of identities. People are like, hey, I'm a Sasquatch guy, whatever, but maybe they don't really believe it. What do you think is the most version of, like, what's the thing people participate in the most in a serious way, but secretly are like, yeah, no, this is fine.
I mean, religion, right?
True. I suppose.
I assume there's a lot of, you know, religion has a large amount of people who are just going through the motions and either not thinking about it or like, too much effort to make a thing out of it.
Yeah. True. Yeah, easier to go along.
That said, an actual answer. It's hard to say, you know?
I think Sasquatch is a very savvy choice there.
Right. That said, there are a lot of bullshit psychics.
True. A lot of bullshit psychics.
A lot of psychics out there know their cold reading.
Yes.
Though, I'm sure there's also a large contingent. I use the word contingent a lot. I'm not sure I'm using it correctly. Who are, you know, just cold reading, but almost are convincing themselves that that's legitimate power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that their cold reading intuition is, like, actually tapping into some shit.
Right. I think there's a lot of that.
Sure. Interesting. I was gonna say maybe ghost hunters. But the thing is, here's the thing about ghost hunting is, like, I feel like it kind of sucks. Like, at least, like, Sasquatch shit, you're out in the woods, maybe you're hunting, you're doing something else, like, psychic stuff, you're getting paid. Ghost hunting, you're just in an old house.
Right. Unless you get anything out of, like, the adrenaline thrill, but what that comes with believing it somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta believe it's real.
Right. A good point.
Or it could be real. I don't know, man.
How's your Christmas spirit doing, Eric?
It's pretty... I don't want to say it's at a lull, but we're in a very non... We just passed through a toll. We're in a sort of barren area. There's truly not a Christmas light, to be fair. It could be any time of year, right?
That's true. We're just in cold concrete.
This feels like the spatial version of January through March.
That's exactly...
Just a barren, cold, dead stretch.
You know what's also tough? We can't be playing Christmas music. I think Christmas music fills a lot of space.
Oh, that's true.
That's another thing I like about the radio that I miss in streaming.
Yeah.
So, on the radio, they're playing there. Let's say you're listening to WPLR in fucking New Haven.
Yeah.
And, like, it's mostly classic rock, but then they'll sneak a fun Christmas song in there. They'll sneak that fucking Paul McCartney one in there.
Yeah.
On streaming, I guess unless you make your own playlist, but that feels like cheating. You gotta, like, be listening to Christmas music. And I don't want to, like, throw on a playlist of Christmas songs.
It's true. It's like a nice little musical seasoning.
Right.
But you don't just eat a spoonful of cinnamon.
That's exactly it. It's just a little enough to remind you, oh, right, look at the... Those are the bells. Christmas is coming.
And it kind of makes, when you sprinkle it in like that, it makes all the surrounding normie songs kind of feel more Christmassy in their own right.
I'm with you.
You know?
I'm with you. You don't get that on streaming as much.
Remember, that was like a thing when big artists would kind of release like Christmas-themed songs. Like Springsteen,
yeah.
Adam Sandler did it.
Right. It's a, yeah. Which, speaking of the boss, every time that, you know, the king of New Jersey.
I'm always speaking of the boss.
Would you say Merry Christmas, Baby, or Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Coming to Town, is the superior Bruce Springsteen Christmas song? My wife says it's Santa Claus Coming to Town, but man, I really like Merry Christmas, Baby.
First of all, that's a great song title. Vaguely threatening. Hey, Merry Christmas, Baby.
It's not threatening when it comes from the boss.
No, never. Never. I think I agree with your wife.
I get it.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
I get it. I think I'm just a contrarian.
Here's what's fun about that. It's like even the boss is pumped for Santa.
Right. The boss answers to no one.
Yeah, except Santa on Christmas. Doesn't want to be on the naughty. He's done some questionable things. But he wants to be on that good boy list,
right?
For Christmas.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have a, either from childhood or just genuine appreciation for, like, a favorite Christmas thing? A story, a song, a movie, something media-related that makes Christmas for you?
Dude, I definitely do. You know what it actually is? It's not directly Christmas related, but it is because I associate it with Christmas. It's The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh, interesting.
Because I got it for Christmas, and I wanted that game so much. That's kind of one thing that I both do and don't miss about being a child, is like being so fucking excited,
yes,
for a toy or a video game.
Right.
And now as an adult, like, I still love video games. Obviously, I love games of all kinds. But I'm kind of glad that those things don't have exactly the same hold over me.
Yeah, I agree.
That they did. Especially when it's like, it's, you know, backed by like fucked up corporate marketing and whatever.
Right.
Like, it's meant to manipulate you. With that said, the magic of like galloping across the fields of Hyrule for the first, and that was one of the first kind of like super almost open, it's not really an
right,
open world
right,
game,
but
at the
it
time
felt
it was like,
it, yeah,
this is huge, like, this is crazy.
Right.
Yeah, that sense of magic, and just like it's like snowy outside and you're not supposed to go do it and you can just like play a video game for a couple of hours.
I'm chasing every time I get a video game, I'm kind of chasing that dragon.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It's gone.
Dragon's gone now.
That reminds me of a Christmas. It was the Christmas the PlayStation 2 came out.
And my brothers and I, we wanted one so bad. And we were kind of banking on it. It was one of those, like, Christmas is coming, we're getting the PlayStation 2, right?
It's a dangerous game.
Right. So Christmas comes, we open up the presents, there's no PlayStation. We're about a minute away, so I'm going to try to... But I remember my brothers and I all making eye contact with each other, and it was one of those, like, all right, guy, all right, boys, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, put on the brave face.
We're not here yet, I'm just...
Yeah. put on the brave face. Don't show disappointment to the parents.
I feel like if I'm in that situation, I'm still thinking... It's just a ruse. The PlayStation is yet to be found.
And sure enough, my mom was like, oh, there's one more thing. It's from your grandparents. And it was the PlayStation 2.
Hell yeah. I remember my grandpa pulled a similar move with the Sega Genesis. Back in the day.
A great console. A great Christmas console.
Wonderful. I used to play Shining Force 2 and 3 with my dad.
Great game.
He would read the... Brian?
Oh boy, I think
a little afraid Christmas is dead.
I'm also a little, so it's a really gaudy pink house, and I don't think...
Did I maybe fuck up?
This is it, and it is dark,
and
there's not that much going on, I will say. This seems to be, there's a camel.
It's like a Venetian Rococo...
Right.
Kind of palazzo situation.
I do think they bring it all in at the end of the night.
Should we just ring the doorbell?
There is a fence around. Okay. You can kind of see it.
Yeah, there's a Cinderella situation. Are we sure they've started lighting it up already?
So they apparently, allegedly, they start after Thanksgiving, and it goes through, like, January 6th.
Wow.
Or whatever the, quote-unquote, the epiphany is. Should we do one more circle around? Try to get another look?
Let's just keep doing circles.
Yeah. Last time we did that, we got in trouble, but that's okay. This is how it's
they like it. They want this. This is wanted attention.
Man, Christmas died.
Christmas is dead. I will say I like how all of the other houses in the neighborhood, they have some tasteful, humble decorations. But they're not trying to fuck with that house.
No,
there's no rival.
Not.
They've completely dominated the, like, surrounding 10 blocks.
Right, right. They apparently, though, especially, like, after the accident, my understanding is, like, they've gotten closer and closer to Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Actually displaying it. That said, I do also believe they pack it in for the night.
It's not even 10.
It's not even 10.
Come on, pink. Come on, cool pink house.
It is a cool pink. I'm so disappointed. There's some lights over here.
Yeah, there's definitely. Yeah, there's. It's a pretty.
That's a pretty festive house.
Neighborhood. Yeah.
I can't fucking believe it. I can believe it because, of course, that's exactly what we called our shot.
Yeah, but... this is 100% what happens. But that's all right because. It's kind of funnier that way.
Yeah. All right, we're coming back around. There's some gaudy lights over here. I like that one.
I'm just gonna. There's not really. I feel like this person is doing. There's some kind of. Yeah, there's some lights over there. We could kind of skidoot around this neighborhood a little bit, just see what there is to.
That works for me. I'm wondering if this person was also disappointed.
Probably.
Or they might just be trying to park.
Yeah, maybe. Let me just back into this road like a bro. All right, dude.
Back around the house, it's got this fence around. It's a pink. There's reindeer on like a tier.
Yeah.
Cinderella's carriage pulled by horses. It's a beautifully ugly house.
Yeah, there's a lot of columns.
There's Alvin and the Chipmunks are out there. I can see them.
It's not, the thing that's kind of nice about Christmas is I feel like so many little pieces of American pop culture mythology get kind of woven into it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
All, like all of those things, like Alvin and the Chipmunks, Cinderella, like...
They don't feel out of place.
Right. No, it all kind of... Alvin and Chipmunks especially, they had that novelty Christmas song. I think that song predated all the other Alvin and the Chipmunks stuff.
Really?
And then the cartoon... I remember the cartoon, but I think that followed the fucking novelty song.
Huh.
Why were kids obsessed with a fucking... They just sped up a bunch of voices. All right, so we're just exploring the neighborhood. We got another nativity over there.
This is the other interesting thing about the Bronx is, like, there's a lot of... We're in a very suburban area.
Right. I'm sure these houses are fucking inaccessibly expensive.
I don't know.
This one's pretty festive. But they got those classic white lights. It's very classy. But they do have an ugly reindeer.
Yeah, you need a little kind of ugly, gaudy something. What do you think about those things? I mean, those projected lights.
It's a little dimmer. It's,
Is that a bullshit move or is that a legit move, you think?
It's a little different. I'm okay with it. If it were a trend, I'd maybe have a problem with it. I don't have an issue with that one house doing that.
This is cool.
Makes
they
sense.
Got a little fort wall thing here. This is interesting. I don't know if they just didn't finish the walls and... Looks like they're doing something here, but it's just kind of covered in lights.
Hmm. Hmm.
Wow. Oh, here we got something.
Man, we got the business here. Look at this.
Look at this little guy.
What if we just started making... Okay, here's the move. I think you're right. No one wants to go anywhere near that house. But, so we got to start treating it, though. One of these houses, like, that's what we're here for. Create a little competition.
Yeah, like Airbnb a neighboring house and there just friggin' go to town.
There you go.
Next door.
And then, competition is good.
Yeah, that's
That'll
right.
motivate them to go even crazier.
Everybody steps up their game.
Right?
Yeah, the great Christmas war of 2023.
Make it competitive again.
That's right.
We got a couple of those blow-up guys that Eric has said he has not liked.
You're a pro blow-up guy? You don't mind him?
I would say I'm not anti.
Okay, neutral on the blow-up guy.
Like I said, because they're kind of ugly and dumb, yeah. And I appreciate ugly and dumb.
Sure. Yeah, that's a fair point. I guess what I don't like is they're all kind of, I feel like everybody gets them from just Amazon. They all are kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of like what J.W. Oker was talking about in reference to, like, Halloween. And, yeah. Like, it's cool that, like, Target has all of this Halloween stuff now, but everyone has the same Halloween stuff.
Exactly.
And I agree with that.
Okay, so we're back here. Different.
I think we've seen about all there is to see with the lights not up. There are cherubic angels with bowls.
It's pretty nice.
For Christmas?
Can I say that seems like a lot of work to take that stuff in and out every night.
It does seem it, and I think they're getting up there, but I wonder if that's to prevent vandalism.
Probably. People probably have fucked with their Christmas.
Almost stuff. Definitely. Especially like over the course of decades.
And you're right by the highway, you pull off, you fuck the you leave. Oh man.
Right.
No problem.
Man, I am disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed.
Well, now we're just being set up for an even greater Christmas miracle that is surely like a hidden PS2 yet to appear in our lives.
This would be a great point to cut the episode if we have enough time.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then next week
will
be the ride back where our Christmas miracle will definitely take place.
Certainly and inevitably occur for the sake of narrative continuity. What's the move? Okay, so it's 10 p.m. That thing is just blacked out.
I know it's 10 p.m. and we can't be doing this all night. We're in our 30s.
Sure.
But this can't be the end, right?
It can't be.
We gotta find something. So the Garabedian Christmas house was a bust, but we're obviously still determined to find our Christmas spirit somewhere in this freaking city. Next week, find out what happens when we drive down to Coney Island looking for our miracle. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next time. Got a friend you know you can trust. He's a thief, man. He's wild.